I say, there is a day. There is always a day. How many of your steps are ordered of the Lord? Amen. How many believe, how many faith people say, faith people, we believe that our steps are ordered of God and that our days and moments are prepared in advance, scheduled by the Most High God. Say, my days are set up. I'm going to let you know you got a day coming. Glory to God. And you got to learn out by faith how to walk that day out. Isn't that amazing when you pray and you believe God? How many of you saw better days for yourself and you're walking out some of your days now? You know, said, there's going to be a day when I don't, when I'm through with this backache or whatever it is, right? And you would visualize that day, and then before you knew it, it was there, right? There's going to be a day when I'm out of debt. There's going to be a day when I look better. There's going to be a day when I lose this weight. There's going to be a day when I get these crooked teeth straight. There's going to be a day, right? How many had your days planned? Huh? You started praying over those things and believing over those things and trusting God for those things, and God said, okay, you asked it. You asked for it. I dated it. Somebody say, my prayers are dated by the hand of God. And we were looking here, we were singing, well, there's going to be a revival in the land. Let me let you know something, that you know what? It's dated. It's dated. And it says that in the second chapter of Acts, chapter 2, verse 1. There's just one thing we want to get across to you. I say, every good thing comes by faith. And you don't want anything. You don't want to receive anything unless it's come by faith. Amen. So I say, no surprises. I believe God. Amen. And you can take your healing by faith. You can take salvation by faith. And you can take revival by faith. Every revival in the Bible, God spoke about it before he did it. And they were believing God for a specific thing. And God did exactly what they were believing on him to do. And it says in the second chapter of Acts, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, isn't that great? So they were believing for a day. They heard about a day. They trusted in a day. And it said, when that day got there, somebody said, the day's gotten there. Where are you at in your day? Huh? Where are you at? I believe there's a day for this ministry. Amen. Amen. It's dated. It's coming. Yes. You know, there's a day when the Lord shall appear. We don't know, but it's already dated. Yes. Isn't it great? He said, nobody knows but the Father above, but it's dated. Somebody say, it's scheduled. Yes. Say, I ain't got an appointment with God. I have an appointment with God. You know, your miracle is dated with God. He didn't necessarily tell him when their breakthrough would get there, but he told them where to go to meet it. He tells you how to position yourself. He tells you how to position yourself for your miracle. Well, their miracle was trusting in God for Pentecost. And they knew that something good was going to happen, that they'd be endued with power, right? But they didn't know when. But they had to get to where they had to get to, do what they had to do. But when the day fully got there, something happened. Amen? So when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now, we've talked about timings, right? So we should be getting close. We should know a little bit about timings. And when we see this little point there, when the day was fully come, when it was just right, they knew what time it was, and it was in God's timing for something special to happen. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. You know what I believe, people? I've sensed the Holy Spirit saying this. Amen. I still believe in revival. I still believe in revival. I still believe in the power of God, that God is able to do great things. But I believe there's steps that we must take in order to have revival. Amen. A couple things. What did he say that they had to do in order to get revival? They had to get to one place, get in one accord, and wait. Well, what do we need to do in order to have revival here? We need to get in one place, get in one accord, and believe God and trust God. Faith people get what we want from heaven. Many people I wish that a revival would come like they do for their healing. And it would be nice to be healed. And I know that God wants to heal me. Amen. God wants to heal me. But what does that do? Well, it's the same thing with revival. We know that God would love to see revival happen. Amen. He wants revival to take place. But how do we allow revival to take place in our life and in our church and in our ministry? By faith. And faith makes you behave yourself. People want to act like something's going on. They want to act crazy. See, revival's just not acting crazy. Revival is a sovereign act of God. Revival is a sovereign act of God where God does something that nobody else can do. There was a revival at Asbury Bible College, a Methodist Bible college. Everybody ever heard of Asbury Bible College? It was a seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky. And there were a bunch of Methodist people there. It's a Methodist Bible school. Well, they had a revival take place there at Asbury College. It went on for, 6 weeks, and the building never shut down for 6 weeks. The service never ended for 6 weeks. I'm not talking about a weekly meeting where they just showed up at 7 o'clock and they had a Holy Ghost meeting and then everybody went home. No, they started a service, amen, and the service did not end for 6 weeks, 24 hours a day. My. Isn't that something? Methodist people. But you know what I noticed when we studied? I knew somebody that was a participant in that revival that took place back in the early 70s. And one of the things that I found out about, you know, they took that revival by faith. They didn't know about faith, but they were walking in faith, and they had revival by faith. And there was a small group of Bible students that got together, and they would get together, and they would meditate, they would pray, and they would believe God, and they would trust God. And then one week they just got up there and said, you know, something's going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow in chapel, something's going to happen. God's going to stop by tomorrow at chapel. And they started spreading it in the group. God's going to stop by in the morning chapel. He's going to stop by morning chapel tomorrow. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. They had prayed long enough till they knew what was going to go down. So they were able to walk through it. Amen? Amen. And you know what happened? That morning chapel came and God met their faith. God met their faith. Well, do you want to have revival here in this ministry and in our geographic area? Amen. How many of you want to see revival? Oh, you just want to have church. Church is nice, but it gets old after a while. Church people get old after a while. Amen. Religious people get old after a while. I want to see God do something sovereign. Amen. Well, if you ever want God to do something, you got to learn everything that God does, no matter what it is. He always does it through the same resources, through the resource of faith. And people think that faith is just getting a new house. People think that faith is just material things and abundance and all this. Listen, you can walk everything through in faith. For the Bible says, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. And everything that we have pleasure in, or everything that God gives pleasure in, it comes through the means of faith. When I'm talking about, say, revival by faith. Revival by faith. Oh, no, we haven't given up on revival, but we decided this is the way that we go about getting it. Amen. Many people want to go off in the flesh and do certain silly things. Well, that's not, well, there was another person in the Bible that wanted something from God, that wanted a promise from God. First of all, you need to realize that revival is a promise from God. Right. Did you know that? Every believer is promised revival. The fruit of revival. He said, in my name, you'll do this. You'll cast out devils. You'll raise the dead. You'll heal the sick. You'll see him recover. This gospel will be preached all over the world. So I have a covenant promise within my spirit that revival should take place in my life. Well, whether you got the promise or not, guess what? You're going to have to activate some faith to see the promise of God come true. Everybody's promised salvation. Did you know that? But only one, those that receive salvation. You know, God has saved the whole world, and many of them don't know it. They're saved. They're saved already, and they just have to receive that salvation. Amen. Jesus is not dying all over again for each new person that comes in. No, he died once for everybody. And they need to know that he has set them free and delivered them. And in order for them to get it, they have to receive what he's already done. Right? Well, listen. We have all been granted revival. But we got to learn to pull on the Spirit of God to see that thing start to manifest in our life. And you're going to learn that. How many are glad that you started to walk by faith? And you've practiced faith on money. You practiced faith on cars. Amen. You practiced faith on your house. You practiced faith with your shoes. Amen. Well, why not practice faith with the things of God? Yeah. Practice faith with the things of God. And you can see how people get off in the things of God. Practice faith even in the manifestations of God. What do you mean in the manifestations of God? Practice faith with it. Well, there are certain people today. You see many ministries today that are trying to have revival. It's not revival. It's an Ishmael. Amen. Ishmael revivals. They want God's thing, but they want to get it their own way. Remember how Abram had a promise from God? And you see it all the time. You just go to places, just chaos. Just a mess. A whole bunch of noise. Amen. A whole bunch of smoke everywhere, but no fire. Amen. A lot of noise, a lot of songs, a lot of dancing, but the same devils. No big change. Well, I call that Ishmael revival. Everybody's screaming about revival for the last 3 years. Oh, we got revival going over here. How many revivals have hit North Houston, Texas since I've been here? 3 years. Revival here, revival there. We've had gold dust. We've had just about everything. We've had people got stuck to the platform where they couldn't preach, and they've laid on the floor, wouldn't get up off the floor to preach the word of God. Revival was so strong. That was something they didn't even have in the Bible, but it didn't produce half the things that the Bible produced. Amen. Right? Amen. I was so touched, I couldn't even walk. Whew. I couldn't even move. I couldn't even go to work the next day. The Holy Ghost was on me so strong. Had me out. Well, what is the fruit to that? What did that produce? What is that? Somebody say flesh. Ishmael revivals. People can't wait on the Holy Ghost to do anything. People can't trust the power of God, the grace of God to do anything. So they go and start to do it themselves. They're just going to go and they're just going to act like revivals happen. And everybody else, the world knows ain't nothing going on. Church people play your game, but the world's not going to play your game. They know there's no power there. Amen? Amen. Ishmael revivals. Why? How do we get Ishmael revivals? Because Ishmael revivals come as a lack from a lack of faith. And faith happens when you know you're walking in faith is when you're doing everything the Word of God tells you to do. And even though it might take you a little bit longer to get there, you still do it in faith. No shortcuts. Amen? We want to go around love to get to revival. Ishmael. Everything works. You know, if it's from God, that means you can do all the things that God requires you to do, and it'll still happen anyway. Somebody say, no shortcuts. But in the things of God, listen, you have to walk this stuff out. You're not going to miss anything by doing the basics. Doing the basics is what's going to bring you true revival and have it stand the longest. Amen. Oh, why don't, you know, you hear people all the time, what are they talking about? Too much preaching. We just need to get into the Spirit. We just need to get into the Spirit. We don't need to hear anything. We just need the Spirit. We just let's see what happens. Well, I don't want to see what happens if it doesn't come out of the Word. Don't surprise me. Let me hear it first. Let me hear it first. I can put my faith to it, and that way I'll know what's coming. Church, you can have revival. But if we're going to have revival, we're going to want God's revival. The Bible says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, they had to get to the upper room and get into the realm of heaven to find out what revival was all about. Pray about it, and then you start to see it manifest. What is revival? Notice that he told them to go to the upper room and wait there. But they knew what they were waiting for. They applied their faith to what he said, so they went there and acted out. And they sat there, and that was faith in action. But they knew what they were waiting for. Amen? The apostle said, why don't y'all pray a bit that as we preach these things that we may go forth and preach with boldness, right? That signs and wonders may be done by the hand of these your apostles. Well, that was revival. When those things happened, they called them revival, right? Well, it wasn't no surprise to anybody. They didn't pray that up and believe God for it. Amen. God just confirmed what he was going to do. Isn't that great? Well, if you want to have revival, you got to do the same thing. You got to believe it up, pray it up, and faith it up so you know exactly what you're believing God for. And your revival is nothing but a manifestation of what you're already trusting and believing God to do. Right. Somebody say, no surprises. The only surprise you should get is that he does better than what you thought he could do. I don't want to work with anybody that says, well, what you going to do? I just don't know anything can happen. You better, I don't want that. Moses didn't have that. Before he even started out, God told him what he would do. Amen? Told him where he would go. Before he started to walk with Abraham, somebody say, faith is not necessarily completely blind. Faith knows where it's going. If you don't know where you're going, it's not faith. It's foolishness. Faith sees something. Faith sees in the spirit, but is blind in the natural, okay? So you get a whole bunch of Looney Tunes that say they're in faith. They're not in faith. They're in foolishness. I know exactly what I want. I know exactly where I'm going. I see it in heaven, and therefore I can walk it out. And when we walk out what we see in the Spirit, that is faith.
Amen.
Poke somebody in the side and say, faith isn't blind. Faith gives great sight. Faith gives great sight. Hallelujah. What does that mean? That means you can turn down one thing when somebody's trying to give you something else. Faith. Well, you can go on and settle for this. Go on and settle for this. You could just take this little rundown thing. No, that's not what I see in the Spirit. Faith.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Faith. You got to have faith. And we're believing God for Nations Church to go into the Spirit of Revival. Well, we better do it by faith because we didn't have many Ishmaels. They'll come up all the time. You'll get distracted. Amen. You'll get distracted by certain things, but you got to know what God wants you to have and what God said, amen? And when you apply your faith to what you're believing God said you'll do, he'll come through. Somebody say, there's a day. What do you mean there's a day? That means you forsake certain things. You forsake certain opportunities that might look convenient. Convenient. Might be easy and convenient. Saying, no, that's okay. I believe God. It might look like it's taking you longer, but it's not. Because Ishmael will never do what God told, what God wants you to get accomplished. You'll never be able to do it with Ishmael's.
Amen.
It might look good, but it's not God. God wants you to do it by faith. And somebody's always trying to shoot the gun. Always trying to shoot the gun beforehand. What I've noticed, I've gone to certain places, worked in certain ministries. Amen. The power of God will be ready to flow in there. But we know there's a time for it. There's certain stages and certain seasons. God has to prepare people before he pours his power into them. And people don't like that. Amen. People don't like that. You know, there are seasons. Revival always is preceded by seasons of prayer and seasons of fasting. Amen. He gets the people ready, and then he gives them something to work with. Well, I've always noticed people jump in the guns, church after church after church. You know, we're just getting so close. Then all of a sudden, they just zap out and they just go for it right then and there. And it burns itself out because there's no preparation before it or preceding that. Jesus, the revival that they had in the second chapter of Acts, that was prepared for 3 years by Jesus himself. He built the pot. When he came down, he walked with them and taught them and discipled them and said, now, you know this is going to happen and this is going to go down. So they weren't surprised. They weren't surprised when things started to happen in their lives. They weren't surprised and they weren't challenged when they were called to sacrifice their own life. They knew what was coming. Why? God had gotten with them when nobody else seen. See, revival started with them in just that little small group, right? And then it spread everywhere else. But their day came. Their day came. Well, are you prepared for God to do something grand, for God to do something great in your life? People, I believe in revival. I believe that mighty revival is going to hit this ministry. And God is serious about it. And he's not playing any game. He can do whatever he wants to do, when he wants to do it. Amen? And you get a choice whether you want to be a part of it or not. He's always talking about the second chapter of Acts. No, we got up here and Chris was singing a song. There's going to be revival in the land. Holy Ghost just spoke to my heart and says, you know what? You can get revival by faith. And that's the problem. People don't want to do it by faith. People don't want to do it by faith. People want to do it by foolishness. Whatever's not of faith is of what? Whatever's not of faith is sin. Did you know that? Whatever is not of faith is sin. Did anybody ever hear that before? Whatever is not of faith is sin. Somebody say, it's missing it. Amen? It's missing it. Whatever is not of faith is sin. It's missing it. So, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place. They were in agreement. They had fellowship in the faith.
Amen.
Remember, Ruthie was talking last night and teaching last night about fellowship in the faith. What is fellowship in the faith? Say that to somebody. Fellowship in the faith. Fellowship is in the faith is you take fellowship in the vision. You take fellowship in the vision. What is God trying to do? You fellowship in the vision. You agree in that vision, amen, and you wait there for what God's going to bring about in the vision. Somebody say fellowship in the faith. They were hanging around in the spirit on what they were believing God to do. Fellowship in the faith. For faith is something of the Spirit, isn't it? How many people do we have walking in the faith together? Amen? And agreeing in faith, standing in faith together. What does that mean? I'm standing in faith, which means that I'm holding hands with the body that you're believing God to give you. Amen? Standing in the faith. Fellowship in the faith. How many of you are lonely in the faith? What's lonely in the faith? Lonely in the faith means you're believing out there all by yourself and nobody can see what you can see. Nobody can stand with you for anything, amen? But fellowship in the faith means that we're already on the other side and waiting for it to materialize over here, amen? That's when God starts to do it.
Amen.
I believe they prayed enough. Here in the second chapter of Acts, verse 1, I believe they got together and they trusted God. They waited on God. We found out on Easter Sunday morning, those of you, how many were here Easter Sunday morning? Now, we were, Jesse and I and Brother Ralph, and we were just laughing because we realized that this was not any ordinary group that was here. Chances are there were several people that were sitting in that room that were raised from the dead. Several people that were sitting there waiting in the upper room were raised from the dead. They got up when Jesus hung on the cross. Remember, the grave was open, and they left. They came up out of their graves when Jesus gave up the ghost, and they came up out of the graves, and they went and they started to wander into Jerusalem. Remember? Those that raised from the dead, the Bible says they walked and wandered into Jerusalem. Well, what were they wandering into Jerusalem for? They were wandering to the upper room. So there were supernatural people there. Somebody say, that place was charged with faith. How did that happen? God won't do anything unless he does it by faith. How did fire come to rest on their head? Their faith level was there for it to manifest. How did the building shake? They had that kind of faith that caused the building to shake. What faith does? Faith brings what's going on the outside in the spiritual realm to the natural realm. Tell somebody, things just don't happen. Things just don't happen. Even with God. Even with God, things just don't happen. Notice, if things just happened, the woman wouldn't have to reach to touch the hem of his garment to be healed. If it just happened. If it just happened, the man wouldn't be by the pool waiting to be thrown in to get healed with Jesus right there. So I say, even when Jesus is here, things just don't happen. That's what you get with people. People come to church, expect this to go on, that to go on. They come in with this. They come in with that. I don't care what's going on in the room. Things just don't happen. It's not like rolling dice. What kind of mood is Jesus in? What kind of mood is the Holy Ghost in? Amen. Let's roll the dice. Is he in the mood to heal? Roll the dice. Oh, we're out of it. Amen. He's making people laugh today. Okay, let's roll the dice again. Oh, he's blessing people today with money. Things just don't happen that way. What happens is what you exercise. What you're believing God for has already happened. Amen. And you got to get your faith out there to bring it about. Some of your miracles would have taken a whole lot longer than what it took until you decided to get your faith out there, amen? Even though it didn't make sense, amen? But you wouldn't have gotten your faith out there and you wouldn't have started to act it out until you started to hear it, until you started to believe it on the outside. Then you started to walk it out. We got America. Most of them praying in disbelief, in unbelief, praying contrary to Scripture for revival to happen. We find out they get to church. Oh, we want to have revival, so they get everybody together. We're going to all come together and pray that God would save souls. We're going to all come. Lord, just reach this community. Bring them in, Lord. Bring them in, Lord. He said, I'm not bringing anybody in. Amen. I did my job. Amen. Bring them in, Lord. Just come on down off the throne. Just come on down off the throne and come back into a body and you go out there and preach again, Jesus. Go out. Bring them in, Lord. Just cause them to come in. Amen? Unscriptural. What somebody said, faith. Faith. You can't even apply your faith to that. You can have it. I don't have any faith for that. That's absurd and not even scriptural. Lord, I'm believing you to come in there. Well, no, faith is based on the Word of God. And then when we get into Scripture and we get into the Word, God shows us how to do it. He gives us stuff that works. Amen. It might challenge us, but it works. I'd rather get something that's going to challenge me and work than me going around in circles for 5 and 6 years. Pray that they would send forth laborers pray, send for laborers. There won't be any great influx of souls until we have Pentecostal power inside the house. There are a whole lot of people out there in the flesh and running people off. How many want to see this place full?
Amen.
What does that take? It takes laborers. Amen. It takes laborers to see that happen. And you aren't going to get laborers. Somebody say laborers came after Pentecost. Wasn't nobody preaching before Pentecost. They were all scared. They were all scared and running. They were all stuck in. They were all scared. But they all got there. And they all got there and they had fellowship with one another. They fellowshipped in faith. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And somebody say suddenly. The suddenly is when you get where God wants you to be and you get in the right frame of mind, it activates.
Amen.
It activates. When God going to do this? When you get to where you can activate it, you might be the last ingredient that causes it to activate. So they say, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. God say, no, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. I'm praying for souls. And God says, no, pray for laborers. The element was not what Jesus would do. Amen. That wasn't the element that caused the souls to get in. Guess what? It was the laborers. That was the power. He put the laborers with the harvest, and that caused action. Amen? People refuse to see their responsibility. People refuse to see their responsibility, and they want to spiritualize everything. But God spiritualized you. Amen? They want to spiritualize everything instead of realizing that God has spiritualized you. What does that mean? That the Holy Ghost that you're praying for is already in you. And you got to put it at the right place with the right attitude and something will happen. Praise God. What are you waiting for? Look at all the things that happen in your life. That never changed until you applied the scripture to it. Until you decided that hey, it's tight, but it's right. I'm just going to have to deal with it. I'm just going to have to deal with it. He'll wait me out on this thing. And you figured out that, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, please, sir, have mercy. It just don't work all the time. Please, please, amen. Instead of walking that thing out by faith. Buddies might get mad at you, and they all might think you're crazy, amen? But why don't we come to our senses and say, hey, look, God's got a way, and we just got to do it God's way. And stop walking around and wandering in circles. We wonder how churches that, quote-unquote, don't have the Holy Ghost can do so much more than churches that do have the Holy Ghost. Why? Because some of the churches that don't claim to have the Holy Ghost at least have the Bible. They got instruction, amen? They got the rule book. They know how to bake the cake. You might have got some icing to put on the cake once it comes out of the oven, amen. But you've got to do it God's way. And God's way, somebody say God's way, is the Holy Ghost. And even he works by faith. Faith moves God. When they were obedient and faith is measured in obedience. There are a lot of people that are bold, but you can be boldly wrong. And there are a lot of people bold in sin, amen? So boldness is not a sign of faith. Look at Madonna. Whoa, what a woman of faith. Just as bold as Marilyn Manson. Boldness is not a sign of faith. Sometimes it's a sign of severe stupidity. Obedience. Obedience that no matter what the cost, is the true evidence of biblical faith. Take Abram's example. He heard from God, believed God, and walked it out. There are a whole lot of churches claiming to be faith churches, but are so out of word, disjointed. So I believe of faith, and I believe we got people of faith in here. Amen. And whatever we put our faith to, we receive. And I'm going to put my faith to revival. And when I place my faith on revival, faith is not rolling dice. Too many ministries rolling dice. Try this evangelist. Woo! From church to church. Let's roll the gold dust. Let's roll laughter. Let's roll ourselves. Instead of you just believing the Bible and walking it out and staying there, amen? Even though nothing happens around you, even though it might take a little bit of time, you got to have faith that you believe that you've heard God's voice, and God's voice said do the Bible, amen? And if it takes you 20 years to walk it out, you're going to walk it out anyhow. Even though there are three people sitting in the front row, there are three people sitting in the front row in faith. What do you mean sitting in the front row in faith? Sitting in the front row in obedience, amen? We're doing what God told us to do, amen? It's the same thing with Lakewood Church, they tell me. They got up there, Brother Osteen had Lakewood Church, I think it was like 30 years, was it? Was it 30 years? 234 people. He did everything he could do. 234 people. He'd bring in Brother Copeland, 234 people. He'd bring in Brother Hagin, 234 people. He'd bring in Marilyn Hickey, 234 people. Amen. He'd make the services longer, 234 people. He'd make the services shorter, 234 people. Until he realized, I'm going to walk this thing out by faith. And he said he walked it out by faith. And you know what happened when he walked it out by faith? It stayed at 234 people. And you know what he did? He still did his thing by faith and trusted God and believed God. Then all of a sudden something happened. What happened that day? That day. Then all of a sudden, somebody say suddenly. It's suddenly to you, but it was already planned for God. Amen. You can relax yourself and you can trust in God and relieve the pressure and just believe God. Amen. Your day will come. But if you want to pull on that day, you better make sure you're there for it. You'd be there for your day with one accord in one place. And then suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were, what? Sitting. Somebody say, sitting. Somebody say, sit. I'm going to sit and wait it out. I don't got to run around. I ain't got to beat no drums. I don't got to pull my hair out. Prophets of Baal tried to do that stuff. And they cut themselves. Oh, Jesus. Oh. They weren't calling on Jesus, but we see that all the time, too. I've been in ministries where they did that stuff, too. Nothing's happened. We just need to get together in prayer. Oh, Jesus. Lord, Lord, Lord. Lord, we're just so unholy. We're just so unworthy. We just don't have enough love. We just don't have enough of this. Oh, affliction, affliction. We just need to go on another 30-day fast. We need another 40-day fast. Amen. Be obedient. Sit your butt down and wait. Your day will come. And suddenly... See, your miracle has a time on it, a manifest time to it. Sit down with Jesus and wait on it. Don't let people distract you. Amen? Don't let people try to chase you from your place. Noah had to wait it out. They ain't never seen no rain. Here he is building. Somebody say, keep on building. You got to learn to be motivated by his word. And not by what you see around you. Well, I don't, you know, this can't be God. Well, look, just look around. You can just tell. Amen. Look at it. That whole section over there, just empty. Well, oh, maybe you're right. In your life, the same thing might be the case. I got that restaurant. Man, ain't nobody coming in here. Don't nobody want to eat no Mexican food. Tell somebody, don't even think about it. It's fun when you walk that way. So if you're not thinking about what Jesus is working on, you can put your mind on things above, on heavenly things, on the things of God. And you can rest assured the Lord hath said. And that's going to be. What God hath said shall be. And I'm going to be there. Amen. So I'm going to sit down and wait. Sit down and relax. Seated in Christ,
in heavenly places.
Seated with Christ in heavenly places. Don't you know what's going on down here? No, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. I got a high seat. Somebody say glory to God. I'm waiting it out. And sooner or later, they're going to call my number. Amen. All I'm responsible for is to be obedient. So if God has promised you something, if God has promised you something and the Lord has said something, guess what? He's not going to disappoint you. It'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. I believe, wherefore, sirs, I believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. I don't care what I see. I don't care what I feel. I don't care about what people are saying. Amen. Somebody say, it'll be. You'll see it. Glory to God. It'll be there. It'll be there right on time. Because I didn't see it out of my flesh. I saw it in the spirit. Therefore, my flesh is not going to feed my vision. And my flesh is not going to feed my faith, because my faith wasn't birthed in my flesh. My faith was birthed in the spirit. And if I want to keep my vision alive, I got to stay in the spirit where it came from. I tell you, in the name of Jesus, it's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. And the only thing you got to do to it, the only thing you got to do with it, is what he tells you to do to it. Other than that, just sit down and enjoy yourself. Eat the appetizers. Amen. Have a cup of tea. Get out of the way and watch God move. Bless somebody else. Why am I blessing people? Because I got a day. I got a day. But I'm occupying time as I'm waiting on my day. I can help somebody else. My day is coming by the hand of God. Amen. I'm not worried about it. And I'm not working my day up. I can work on your day. Amen. I can make your day brighter. I'm waiting on my day. Hold on. I'm just going to talk to you for a bit. I'm going to buy your computer. Amen. I'm going to make sure you get your car. Don't worry about it. My day's coming. I tell you what's even better than seeing the manifestation come to pass. Amen. Is sitting in fellowship and experiencing God. Say revival by faith. What do you see? What do you see? What do you see? How did they get it? No, I didn't. He got it by faith. How did he get it? No, I didn't get it. Faith. I saw it and said, hey, I received that. I believe that. Amen. Didn't tell me how to get it, but I believe it. Amen. I receive it. In Jesus' name. And guess what? He'll walk it out of you. And he'll walk it through you. You can work everything you want to work. You can work anything you want to work. You can do all you want to do and run around in circles. For the flesh profiteth nothing. But what God wants will come to pass. What do we do about it? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Somebody say God. Somebody say the day. Then all of a sudden, somebody say, suddenly. How many suddenlies can you stand for? How many suddenlies can you stand for? Praise you, Jesus. Demonstrations of power. Demonstrations of grace. The Holy Ghost. I'm enjoying life. Boy, am I enjoying life. How about you? Jesus.
We bless your holy name.
You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in The Woodlands, Texas.